I just sense such a peace here today. You know, God is so good. Amen. And welcome all those watching on your phones or televisions or whatever you have. And I trust that you're going to be encouraged today. That happens to be the theme of my message. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for all that you are and all that you've done within our lives and all that you're going to do. Father, I pray that you would use each one that's here and those in the sound of my voice to rise up in this day and trust you for all that you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen. Encouragement. What does that mean to you? I'm sure that it could mean many things to many people. What we say to one another is important. And how we live our lives before the Lord and before one another is also very important. The dictionary meaning for encourage is to inspire courage, hope, or resolution. As you think on that, do you make a point of encouraging one another? You know, for some, it's kind of a natural thing. You just want to be a blessing, and you kind of spill out over people. For others, it's maybe a challenge. Encouraging is giving or tending to give. Courage or confidence. Often the word encourage or encouragement is translated in strengthen, comfort, or support. Depending on which translation you look at, you can be looking at a scripture in King James Version, you look at Passion or Message, and it's a little bit different, but there is the same if you really look at the root meaning. I know that because I've been doing that, especially for this message. And it's kind of interesting, you know, you look up different, you know, do a word study, and you think, boy, I just have everything nailed down here. And you think, well, maybe I'll look at that in, say, the Message translation. And it's different than where you're going. So you have to understand what these words actually mean. What's the broad sense? What's the root meaning? That's for free, you know. The Passion Translation is one that I'm going to be reading in just a minute, a couple of verses. But let's look at Psalms 95. And interesting enough, as we heard today, the exhortation concerning worship, the call to worship. It says, O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. You know, if you're from a traditional church background, you might say, well, you know, you don't have to get so loud, you know, because you're used to the quiet. God is not deaf, but he's not nervous either. And if the Bible says that we're to shout joyfully to him, that's what we do. Let all things be done decently in order. Amen. For the Lord is the great God. For the king above all gods, and that's a small g. There's only one God, and that's our God. In his hands are the deep places of the earth. The heights of the hills are also his. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hands. Verse 8 is primarily where we're going. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, as it is in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me. They proved me, though they saw my work, going through the wilderness, coming out of Egypt. God delivered his people, miracle after miracle, led with the cloud by day and the fire by night. And these people, for 40 years, it says in verse 10, for 40 years I was grieved with that generation and said, it is the people who go astray in their hearts. They did not know my ways. So I spake in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Verse 8, we really need to focus in on this. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Take off the veneer. Believe that God will strip away the dross. In Hebrews 3, 12 and 13, Passion Translation actually comes from verse 8 in Psalms 95. Passion Translation says, verse 12, so search your hearts every day, my brothers and sisters, and make sure that none of you has an evil or unbelieving or unbelief hiding within you. For it will lead you astray and make you unresponsive to the living God. This is the time to encourage each other to never be stubborn or hardened by sin's deceitfulness. And you might say, well, Pastor Bob, you seem to be getting a little bit negative. No. I'm urging, I'm cautioning. We cannot have some kind of loose, sloppy agape. We must focus in on serving God with a pure heart. Clean hands and a pure heart. Amen? As far as encouragement, has anyone come up to you and really encouraged you, said something kind? I'm sure that it must have happened. We're all different ages, but somebody, Pastor Randy, did anyone ever encourage you?
Many.
Yeah. So, do you think that's a good thing? We all need encouragement. We all go through the stuff as we were singing about today. The pain, suffering, good times, not so good. God is faithful to lead us, even as he led the children of Israel through. They balked. They didn't want to do things God's way. Sometimes people become like that. Well, I've always done it my way, and why should I listen to anybody else at this point in my life? Have you ever heard anything like that? I have. You never know what the person is going through. We think of encouragement. We need to be sensitive to one another. Amen? I don't know what my brother goes through from day to day. And if I just came on and slapped him on the back and, well, bless God, how are you doing there, boy? You know, it'd be not so good. Be sensitive. Attempt to encourage. You know, for years and years, I was in business for myself. I was in sales, marketing, management, and I appreciate a lot of the things that I learned about people. You can read people. Did you know that? You know? So it's not about you all the time. When we encourage, put yourself in their place and listen and watch, and, you know, and it's okay to come alongside. You know, sometimes people are fearful. They, well, you know, I don't want to interrupt their life. I mean, I got enough problems of my own. Well, what goes around comes around, doesn't it? So, three examples of misguided encouragement. And this is meant to be a little on the funny side, so I hope you take it that way. You know, we sing the song Onward Christian Soldiers, especially November the 11th, don't we? That's a good song. It's got a lot of good meaning. But someone made a typo in a church bulletin and wrote, Awkward Christian Soldiers. Awkward Christian Soldiers. Number two, and this actually happened. This is something that I took out of a book. A small country church had a signboard in front of the church that said, Pastor Bob is on vacation. Praise the Lord. You know. This next one I really like, but you have to listen carefully to get the meaning of it. A church bulletin noted that the concert that was held in the church fellowship hall was a great success. Special thanks are due to the pastor's daughter, who labored the whole evening at the piano, which, as usual, fell upon her. Well, I don't know about you, but I have this mind thing, you know, and I see the piano falling on her, but that's not what it means. But, you know, we have to be a little clear when we go to exhort and encourage and admonish someone. Otherwise, who knows what they're thinking, right? So, we've got a lot of scripture, and we'll just see how much the Lord is going to allow me to, well, I guess he led me this far, and we'll see where we go. Okay, Deuteronomy 1, verse 38. Now, we're talking about Israel going through the wilderness, and some of the things that happened as they went. Well, at the point, you remember Joshua, right? Joshua, you remember him? Yes. Well, Joshua in Deuteronomy 1:38, and this is the New King James Version. Joshua the son of Nun, who stands before you, shall go in there. In other words, to the promised land. Encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it. Thank you, Lord. You know, spiritually speaking, we want to inherit all that God has for us. In fact, we are heirs and joint heirs with Christ. Amen? Deuteronomy 3:28. This is New King James Version. I'm taking special note because sometimes, you know, I'm wanting this to be on my topic. And if you look at some versions, it takes it somewhere that's not as clear. So I just focused in, right? That okay, John? God bless you. It's so good to see you and your dear wife. So Deuteronomy 3:28, New King James Version, says, "But command Joshua." He was being the commander, but he was commanded to do something and encourage him and strengthen him. If you're in ministry or you have any idea that one day the Lord will bring you into ministry, you know, don't you, Pastor Randy, you need encouragement along the way. You need to be strengthened. Why? Well, for all of us, there's an enemy of our soul that would like to bring us down and take us out. But as brethren, sister, how do you like that? A cistern is something to hold water. Well, that was just, you know, my poor joke, yeah. "And he shall inherit the land which you will see." So there's a process, there's a destiny, and it just doesn't happen. We're not just picked up and dropped and, no, God instructs us in his word how we're to do things, how to behave. I better behave. 1 Samuel 30, let me see if I can find 1 Samuel here. 30, beginning at verse 6. This is the situation where David was greatly distressed. It was at Ziklag, for the people spoke of stoning him. Wow. Because the soul of all the people were grieved. Why were they grieved? Because the Amalekites came in and burnt the city, took the wives, the children, and David and his mighty men came home, and there was devastation. And who are you going to blame if there's a problem? You blame the leader very often, right? Who's our leader? Ultimately, you know, Pastor Randy, sure, why not? But it's God. That's it. Pastor Randy takes direction, orders from God, and we together stand. Every man and his sons and daughters, but David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Maybe a little self-talk, reminding him of the word of God, of the visitations that he's had, the faithfulness of God. Then David said to Abiathar the priest, Amalek's son, "Please bring the ephod to me." You know, and I won't take time to go into all that, but David, he did things in the right manner. He encouraged himself in the Lord, and he said, "Lord, what would you have me to do?" He said, "Pursue, overtake, and you're going to get it all back." And it happened. But there was a listening ear. There was coming before the Lord and saying, "Okay, where do we go from here? You know, I trust in you, Lord. I trust in you." There was a situation in 2 Samuel 11:25 where David was king. But sometimes just because you have a position, you have a role, you have acceptance, sometimes you get a little bit greedy and you want things that don't belong to you. And one day Bathsheba was out on her porch and sunbathing, David looked down and he desired her sexually. So what did he do? Well, her husband was a faithful man. He was in a battle, and David said to Joab, just get Uriah, get him up in the front line so he'll be killed. That's murder, isn't it? Manipulation. Yep. I'm going to read the scripture, 2 Samuel 11:25. You might say, well, why did you go there? That's not very nice. Well, you know, it's part of the word, right? Then David said to the messenger, thus you shall say to Joab, do not let this thing displease you, for the sword devours one as well as it devours another. Strengthen your attack against the city. In other words, get the soldiers to go in and take, even though there is not a safety valve. Maybe it's open ground where you're an easy target. Strengthen your attack against the city and overthrow it. So encourage him. And that was the runner, the messenger, to tell Joab to just, you know, put Uriah right in the front lines. For sure, he's going to be killed. And he was. Psalm 64, verse 5. They encourage themselves in an evil manner. They talk, laying snares secretly. They say, who will see them? You know, there's all kinds of wickedness in this hour, in this day. And there's people that would just love to trip you up. I was thinking about the U.S. politics, but I won't go there. 2 Corinthians 31:4. What about being encouraged when you're in ministry? Well, that comes in different ways. But as I was studying this out, in the King James Version, it says 2 Chronicles 31:4. Moreover, he, and the he is Hezekiah, King Hezekiah, said to the people that dwelt in Jerusalem, to give the portion of the priests and of the Levites, that they might be encouraged in the law of the Lord. What does that really mean when you crunch it all down? Tithes and offerings. And as the people obeyed the word of the Lord, what happened? There was so much abundance that they were putting all of this in heaps. And finally, they said, stop! We can't keep any more. There's too much blessing in the house. You know, our natural mind, well, if you give it away, it's gone. No, it's coming back. It's coming back. 2 Chronicles 35:2. And he set the priests in their duties and encouraged them for the service of the house of God. That was Josiah. You know, it's nice when you're set in as an elder, fivefold ministry, whatever it is. Well, bless God, you get encouraged, you know. But this is an ongoing thing. We need to be encouraged. Sometimes it's like the guy out in the battlefield. And it almost seems like a setup. It's a setup, all right, to come back and be strong. And there are casualties. Come on now. There are casualties. But as we watch out for one another, as we encourage one another, it's a whole lot easier.
That's true.
Amen? You might say, well, Pastor Bob, who are you? I've only known you for 4 years or so. Well, being around a little bit longer than that. Got saved in 1965 and being involved in various things, ministry, planning churches, and different things. But one thing for sure, David had his mighty men. They ended up in a cave. They came out and they conquered. We, as the people of God here in this house or wherever you are, we need to stand with one another.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
What we've learned today, what have we learned today? It's going to be different for everybody. How can we apply what we've learned? You know, people are trying to set up their own kingdom, have their own little idols. Isaiah 41:7 says, "So the craftsman encouraged the goldsmith, and he who smooths the hammer inspired him who strikes the anvil, saying, 'It's ready for the soldering.' Then he fastened it with pegs that it might not totter." Man's best attempt to be God, small g, is still fake news. What are you saying? Well, there's only one God. God has his people. There's people that are setting up idols, and everything is really quite professional, but yet it's all going to come down, just like Nebuchadnezzar's worship, his statue. So keeping a right heart is really important. A right attitude. Walking pure before the Lord. Hey, we all make mistakes. And we need one another. You know, I'm so thankful for Pastor Ron and Bonnie, because they've been a constant encouragement to me personally, especially Ron. He's my buddy. I said that the first time we were up at the front and we were going to have the home group. And more he has become my very close friend. And you know what? When I have my struggles, I know that he'll be there for me. It's like he's my pastor in a sense. You know, he watches over me. Yeah, you might say, well, that's kind of different. No, it's brother walking with brother. Amen? And I just thank God for that. What is Christ's exhortation? What is his encouragement for you today? John 14:27. And before I read it, I sense such a peace here. You know, I've been preparing. I just commit it all to Jesus, you know. Ask him to touch me as I deliver this. This isn't for me, but it's for you, you know. We need to be encouraged. So But peace, peace, I sense this morning such a peace. John 14:27, peace. This is Jesus speaking through his word. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you that you love us, that you, through Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, you died that we might live. And I pray for each one, Lord, that's listening. I pray that you would encourage them from something that's been said today. Lord, it's your word, and we know that it will not return void, but it shall accomplish that it was sent forth to do.
That's right.
So, Lord, we commit it to you. We trust you for results and for encouragement today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor Randy.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah. Well done, Bob. You got anything? This is John and Holly Rodham. They've been with us before, but they're so delightful. Thank you, Bob. That was just fantastic.
Yeah. Every time we come here, I encounter the Lord. Pastor Bob, that was a great message. Do you feel encouraged? Yeah, and we're called to encourage others too in that. In the Psalms, there's a very strange word. And in all the different translations, it's present. It's the word Selah. And it's sort of mystery about it because they're not quite sure exactly what it means. But it's an instruction because the Psalms were sung. So it's an instruction to actually pause and wait on the Lord and to just sit in awe or stand in awe of him because he's a great God. He's a good God. He's kind. He is strong. He's full of beauty. And all through this morning, Brian, I was just wasted by that song, just trusting God. That's what we're called to because God is good. And is worthy of our trust. In Hebrews it said, he's pleased when we trust him, when we have faith in him.
Yes, yes.
It's amazing. So I just had a sense that he wants to give us a fresh, as we go forth, just a sense of his presence and his love. And Holly's been singing this particular song. Some of you may know it's by Don Moen, but been singing this over people. And I'd like to have her sing this over you folks, and then I want to pray. Is that all right? This is so hard for me because I'm sort of technically retired, and I don't have a chance to preach that often. So you give me the mic, you know.
Can I just add an exhortation, though? I mean, this has all been very lovely, and we do need to be encouraged, and we do need to lie down and rest. But there's a purpose in that. And I've been very frustrated, Brian, you said, anybody that, you were talking to me today, anybody that's frustrated or wants the Lord's help for something, and this COVID thing is driving me crazy. And I've had to really struggle to say, Lord, what is this about? Like, I'm shocked at the amount of anger that is in me. Like, it's scaring me. The amount of anger over this. And so I've had to say, God, where are you in this? What are you doing? Because you're taking what the enemy means for evil and turning it around for good, but I don't always see it. So help me. So I was writing in my journal this morning before I came, and this is what I ended with. Jesus, as I go to church today, please don't let me come home the same way I left. Let your spirit fall and change us into the disciple makers that we need to be, doing even greater things than you, because we are to obey more than sacrifice. But let us be doers of your word, not for our glory, but because the world needs you and your message. You are the only answer to what is happening in our world today. And so he calls us apart. And so I've had to see, God, this is you calling me apart. You've shut me down. Why? To change me into the likeness of Jesus. And so I sing this to say, Lord, take us apart to be refreshed, to be renewed, to be built up, to be encouraged, to be strengthened, so that when we get up, we go out in power. We go out with healings and miracles in our hands. And we go out praising the Lord. Not just having a nice little, oh, wasn't that lovely little spa day. No, that's not the point. It's not about you. It's about what God wants to build into us. I'm shaking like crazy. Okay. You make me lie down in green pastures. You make me wanting for nothing. You fill my hunger with honey from your sweet, sweet word. You let me worship before you, so I will love and adore you. You are my shepherd. You are my Jesus. You are my Lord. You make me lie down in green pastures. You make me wanting for nothing. You fill my hunger with honey from your sweet, sweet word. You make me worship before you, so I will love and adore you. You are my shepherd. You are my Jesus. You are my Lord. You are my shepherd. You are my Jesus. You are my Lord. You are my shepherd. You are my Jesus. You are my Lord.
Well, I bless you with the capacity to step into the Lord's embrace, to rest there, to be held firmly yet gently in the Father's arms, to hear him speak words of love and encouragement and blessing, to know that you are a son or a daughter, cherished by him, beloved. May you sense his tenderness. May you step into that place easily, day by day. And I bless you with the capacity as you step into the Lord's embrace to live in that place. Also to live out of that place of his love. The scripture says we love because he first loved us. We have the capacity to love. Even those tough ones. Even in those tough situations. He desires to strengthen us. Lord, we do trust you. You are kind. You are good. You are strong. Mighty to save. So we rest in you. Lord, I thank you that you promised to never leave us or forsake us, constantly pursuing us, constantly loving us. May we be a people that honors you by loving others, by trusting you, by keeping in step with your Spirit as you lead us in that wonderful dance of life. So under God's gracious mercy and protection, we commit you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you, gazing upon you with tenderness and great delight as his beloved sons and daughters, and that his peace, his shalom, would embrace you. It's his peace, his shalom, would embrace you, that you be known as a people of peace, friends of God. And that through you he would bless many, many, many people for his glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, folks. Always great to be with you. I love this guy, too. You know, he came up to me and said, you're always so encouraging. Talk about that message, personification of that.
Thanks, John. Thank you, Holly. Boy, it takes some intestinal fortitude to get up and sing a cappella. Thank you, Holly. That was awesome. We always enjoy that. And John? Good, good, good. You've had the benediction, so now go in peace. Be blessed.